This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, I'm starting today a very, very important and beautiful story which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ahsanul Khasas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it the best of stories. The important thing here to understand also is the word qissa. Qasas is the plural of qissa. Is different from, it means it is a true story, right? Qissa, qasas is the plural and qissa is a true story. In Urdu, and those of our Urdu speaking brothers and sisters who watch this, Urdu mein hum kahani bhi ka bhi lafz humare paas hai. तो कहानी वो होती है जो कि सच हो सकती है मगर सच होना ज़रूरी नहीं है. तो कई कहानियाँ जो हैं वो किसी मसले को, किसी चीज़ को समझाने के लिए भी बनाई जाती हैं कि भाई एक ऐसा था, एक वैसा था, वो फलाना था, एक आदमी था, बादशाह था, ताकि एक मसला या एक उसूल या जो भी चीज़ है वो आसानी से समझाया जाए, उसके लिए कहानियाँ बनाई जाती हैं. तो उसमें कोई ख़राबी नहीं है, कोई बुरी नीयत से नहीं बनाई जा रही है, अच्छी नीयत से बनाई जा, मगर वो कहानी जो है वो सच नहीं है, वो कहानी बनाई हुई है, मसनवी है. मगर जो खिस्सा होता है वो उर्दू के अंदर भी हम उसे हकीकत के लिए कहते हैं कि भैया खिस्सा था, वाक़िया था. उर्दू में लफ्ज़ वाक़िया भी इस्तेमाल होता है, अरबी में उसके माने अलग हैं. तो इसलिए मैं कह रहा हूँ, तो अल्लाह सुब्हानहु व तआला कॉल्ड दिस द अहसनुल क़सस, the best of stories, and that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated an entire surah to that, Surah Yusuf. Now it obviously tells us that this is a story which is extremely important, which is full and rich with lessons to be learnt. Inshallah, I will try to do my best with it, and by no means is that to be taken as the final ultimate word or anything like that. I'm doing my best, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to make it easy for us to do that. The key thing, the fundamental line that I always say for all of these many different stories of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, which now we have been going on with these for over a year, alhamdulillah, is that we need to remind ourselves that all of these stories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us and told us not for entertainment, not so that we find them interesting, but so that we learn the lessons from those stories and apply them in our lives. The Anbiya alayhi salam, all of them were guides, and whoever followed the Anbiya, these people are the people who would be successful. Specific importance for us is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, which of course we will also come to in due course. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, a point I want to make here is that Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail and Ishaq. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, and Lut alayhi salam were all contemporaries. They all were together, meaning they all lived in the world at the same time. Yaqub alayhi salam came from he was a son of Ishaq alayhi salam. Now Yaqub alayhi salam is also called Israel, and is also called Abdullah, and he had 12 sons, and their descendants are called Bani Israel. Now out of them, according to Ibn Kathir, Allama Ibn Kathir, and the majority of the ulama, only Yusuf alayhi salam was a Nabi. Others were not Anbiya. Other scholars have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually made all of them Anbiya. But Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other majority of the ulama, they say that they did things which were not becoming and which were not suitable in the character of Anbiya alayhi salam For example, they tried to murder Yusuf alayhi salam to begin with. And so therefore it is not possible that they could have been Anbiya. Wallahu alam. Now, as I mentioned to you, there are with a very important story of the Quran of Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned to you before, called it the best of stories, Ahsanul Qasas. Now, there are four parts to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and inshallah we will look at them in this series of lectures, inshallah. The first part is about his dream and his events in his childhood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت 11 كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل ياقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق وإن ربك عليم حكيم. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and Allah said, we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of stories through our revelations unto you of this Quran. And before this, meaning before the coming of the divine inspiration, before the coming of the Wahi, you were among those who did not know about this particular incident and about the Quran. You were among those who did not know about this. Remember when Yusuf said to his father, O my father, verily I saw in a dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon, and I saw them prostrating themselves to me. I saw them making sajda to me, which is 11 stars and the sun and the moon. He, the father, said, O my son, do not relate your dream. Do not tell your dream to your brothers, lest they arrange a plot against you. Verily, shaitan is to man an open enemy. Thus will your Rabb choose you and teach you the interpretation of dreams and other things, and perfect is his favor on you and on the offspring of Yaqub alayhi salam, as he perfected it on your fathers Ibrahim and Ishaq before them aforetime. Verily, your Rabb is all-knowing, all-wise. This is the conversation of Yusuf alayhi salam and his father Yaqub alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, of course, at that time is not a Nabi, he's a little boy, but he had this dream. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam was very young, but he was a little boy when he saw this dream, which was the sun and the moon and 11 stars or planets making sajda to him. Yaqub alayhi salam told him, as I mentioned in the Quran, the translation, that he told him, do not tell your brothers about the dream, and that his brothers would not accept the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned to give Yusuf alayhi salam a high status where everyone would be under him. Now, the lesson to be learned in this is a very important and critical lesson. And that lesson is to guard against jealousy. There are two different things. One is envy, one is jealousy. There's a big difference between the two, and it's important to understand this difference. Envy, and we know from the Hadith of Rasulullah, he said envy is permissible in two cases. One is you can be envious You can have envy for a brother or sister who Allah has given wealth to and who spend that wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is you can be envious about a brother or a sister who Allah has given knowledge to and they use this knowledge in beneficial ways by teaching others and by using it in beneficial ways. Right? So envy also is not a general thing. It is in two things. Now, what's the difference between envy and jealousy? Envy is where the person says, I wish I had or I was like that person to be able to do good things like that person. Right? So he's only wishing that I wish I had money like so and so, so that I could do the kinds of works that that person is doing. This is envy. Jealousy, on the other hand, is negative because jealousy is not just a matter of saying that I wish I was like that. Jealousy is where you wish ill for the other person. The person who is jealous of somebody, for example, who has wealth, wishes that this person should lose their wealth. You know, that they have some calamity or some problem that they lose their wealth. So jealousy is haram. To be jealous of anybody is haram, it is prohibited, because it's a negative thing. You are wishing ill for somebody. To wish ill for somebody in Islam is haram. We as Muslims are not even permitted to make a dua for Jahannam, for the hellfire, for a non-Muslim. Right? You cannot say. The only exception is where you make this dua. This dua you can make for Muslims or non-Muslims, which is somebody who's oppressing, or you know, somebody mass killer, or somebody whose actions are hugely destructive, and who people literally who have blood on their hands. For them, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove them from this earth, and you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish them. But normally, as far as a normal non-Muslim person is concerned, you are not permitted to make a dua that Allah should not guide them to Islam, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give them Jahannam. In Islam, the only thing which we are permitted to do are positive things, nothing negative. So therefore, envy with respect to people, two kinds of people, is permitted. But jealousy is completely haram. So, shaitan, so jealousy is what, so what shaitan does is that he puts jealousy in the hearts of people. Right? So you become jealous of your siblings, you might become jealous of your colleagues in a workplace and work environment, you might become jealous of anybody. So therefore, Yaqub alayhi salam warned Yusuf alayhi salam against shaitan. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, use the good word, because good words keep shaitan away. And meaning, what is the best way of avoiding jealousy? Speak well of the person who might otherwise have been the object of your jealousy. Right? If you speak good of them, if you praise them, and Islam again is we are prohibited from flattery. Praise and flattery are two different things. So praise is where you are appreciating a genuine thing which is there. Flattery is where you are exaggerating in that praise. For example, you listen to a lecture and you say, Alhamdulillah, this teacher has taught this lesson very well, and Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless him or her, I have understood very well, and this is a beautiful lecture. Alhamdulillah, this is praise. And if you appreciated this expression, you can say behind in the absence of that person, or you can even say it to them directly. There is no harm, and as a matter of fact, it's a good thing to express appreciation to somebody who has done something good for you, because first of all, it's a way of thanking them, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the one who does not thank the people has not thanked Allah. So you need to thank. And secondly, it encourages people. So alhamdulillah, if somebody does something well, it encourages them to do more and better. But instead of praising that person, if you had exaggerated and you say, oh mashaAllah, this alim, this sheikh, he's a baharul ulum, he is a sea of knowledge, and wallahi, in today's world, he is Shaykhul Islam, and in today's world, there is no other alim like him. This is all a bunch of lies. And this is absolute nonsense. and this should not be done and it should not be encouraged. Unfortunately, this happens for all public speakers when they are being introduced by people. With all good intention, the person introducing is just trying to be nice, but there's something to be put very clearly in place and to say very clearly to the person. I always make a point of saying this. Anybody who describes me as an alim and so on, I tell them, please excuse me, I'm not an alim. I do not consider myself to be an alim. So please do not use the term. I am somebody who is trying to teach you and tell you what I know. That's it, period, khalas. You like it, say you like it, alhamdulillah. If you don't like it, you tell me what you don't like, inshallah. If it is something which can be corrected, I will correct it. But leave it at that. Do not exaggerate in praise. So this is the difference between flattery and appreciation. Appreciation is good, should be done. Flattery again is lies, and therefore it should not be done. Second big lesson here is in the treatment of children. Now try to be as equal in treatment as possible. Showing favoritism to one child over the other causes jealousy. A man came to Prophet Sallam and he brought one of his sons with him, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have given all my property to this child. Rasulullah asked him, do you have other children? He said, yes. Rasulullah said, take it back from this child and divide it equally between all of those children. Now this is sometimes a mistaken impression we have, where people, when they are dividing property or they are giving gifts and so on, they use the usul of virasat, the usul of inheritance, where a son gets twice the quantity of that the daughter gets. So the daughter will get one, the son will get two. When people are distributing property or giving gifts, they use that system mistakenly, because they think that's the system to use in Islam. It is not. When you are giving gifts, when and if you are distributing property, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to give equal share to the men and the women, to the boys and the girls, to the brothers and sisters, equal. Inheritance comes into effect only after you are dead. In inheritance, you have no say because you are dead. So in the inheritance, when you are distributing inheritance, then you are not distributing it. What you have left behind, what is called your tarka, is being distributed amongst your heirs, and that will be distributed according to the usul which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for inheritance. But in your lifetime, if you are giving a gift, then give the same thing to all the children, equal. Don't discriminate, don't give more to a favorite, don't give more to the men and less to the women, more to the boys, less to the girls, no. And vice versa, less to the girl, more to the girls, less to the boys, no. Equal, when you are distributing. Also, treatment, in the sense of how you talk to them, how much time you spend with them, and so on and so forth. If there is an impression that you love one child more than the other, believe me, you are sowing the seeds for future destruction of relationships and the enrichment of lawyers and attorneys, because that's where it goes. Right? People will then, son and brothers will fight, and brothers and sisters will fight over stuff, and they will destroy their relationships. And the only people who benefit and get enriched are the attorneys on both sides. So please don't do that. Now, ta'wilul ahadith is the word the phrase used, which is explanation of things, explanation of speech. So it could be speech, thought, dreams, whatnot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam great wisdom and understanding. Specific reference to dreams, of course, but also could also be thoughts, could also be, you know, some questions and so on, which he had the wisdom to be able to explain. Now somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most mukarram, the most honored among the people? And he said, Yusuf ibn al-Karim, ibn al-Karim, ibn al-Karim. He said, Yusuf, the son of the honored, the son of the honored, the son of the honored. And that is referring to Yaqub alayhi salam, his father who was a Nabi, Ishaq alayhi salam, father of Yaqub alayhi salam, who was also a Nabi, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was the Abu al-Anbiya, he was the father of the Anbiya. So Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said, he is the most mukarram, the most honored among the people. Now this hadith and several others of the same nature. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the only two people who were never touched by shaitan were Isa alayhi salam and his mother Maryam alayhi salam. Sayyid Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about yourself? Were you also protected? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was touched but Allah purified me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected me. So shaitan cannot touch me. We know the story of how as a little child when he was with Halima Sadia radiallahu anha, as a little child the angels came, Jibreel salam, and another angel with him, and they split his heart and they purified his heart and they took out there was some impurity which they removed, and this was wallahu alam probably the touch of the shaitan which was removed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then protected him, and he was always protected. Now the reason I'm mentioning this is because these ahadith and similar, these kinds of ahadith, one about Yusuf alayhi salam and this one about Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, these are also proofs and evidences of the truthfulness and integrity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he was a person, if he had been a person who wanted to just, you know, aggrandize himself and show off his own importance, then if somebody says who is the best of people, he would have said me. In any case, he was the best of people. He is the best of creation. He is the Imamul Anbiya. He is the head of the Anbiya and the Rasul. There is no one in creation of any kind who is superior to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is part of our aqidah. We believe this, and this is inshallah, this is absolutely true, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of not just human beings but best of all creation, all that we know and all that we don't know. So if he had said I am the best, that would have been absolutely true, and there's no doubt about that. But he mentioned it in a different context, where he said his father was a Nabi, and his father was grandfather was a Nabi, and his great grandfather was a Nabi. Now this is showing the importance of the fact that he was of him, and showing that importance of being also from a family which has been guided and honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Verily in Yusuf alayhi salam and his brethren and his brothers there are ayat, there are signs for those who ask. Now Yusuf alayhi salam had 10 brothers who were from different mothers, and he and his brother Binyamin were from one mother. So the other brothers were jealous of these two, especially they were jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam, who was very much the beloved of his father. These two were also the youngest. So in many cases it happens that, you know, parents are more they love the little ones more than the older ones. Or they may not even do that. I mean, they might love the older ones more, but somehow, you know, you can cuddle a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, but to cuddle a big 25-year-old is difficult, right? So it is sometimes the older ones feel that, oh, my father, mother don't love me, they love the little one. So it's very important to show your love and affection. Everything doesn't have to be, the child doesn't have to sit in your lap for you to show your affection. You can show your affection in different ways, but make sure that you are clear and you show your affection equally to all children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. This is one of the things which these brothers have said a couple of times, which is very bad and which is worthy of criticism, where they called their own father. He said, he is misguided. And Nauzubillah, he was a Nabi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they said, truly, Yusuf and his brother, Benjamin, Binyamin, are loved more by our father than we are, but we are strong. We are, as a group, we are usbah. We have strength. We are, you know, they were fully grown adult males, and really our father is misguided. He is in plain error. So they said that we are elders, we are the older brothers, we are powerful men, we are strong as a group, we are strong, and we can protect our father and our family, but he loves this kid, right, who's a little kid, so he is misguided. Now it's very, very wrong to say, especially about their father who was a Nabi, and they knew this, right? So they knew that he was a Nabi, yet they say something like this. And that's the reason why Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi and others, they have said that people with this kind of an attitude, who used to criticize and that also in this bad way, by saying that, you know, he is misguided and so on, they could not possibly have been Anbiya. Wallahu alam. So this is very wrong. Then they said, so they made a plan to assassinate Yusuf alayhi salam. Now Shaitan made them see the little issue of jealousy as very big, and the killing of their own brother as something small and possible to do. Now think about that, how terrible this is. Sadly, sometimes I'm not saying that, you know, you are going to fall into the trap of killing anybody, but sometimes a small thing, Shaitan makes a small thing look big and a big thing look small. For example, we may not murder anybody, but those of us who engaged in slander, those of us who engage in ghibah, in bad talking, in backbiting, right? This is equal to killing somebody. This is worse than killing somebody in some cases. Rasulullah said this is equal to, and not the Nabi, the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Now, how bad and how horrible is that? And why do you do that? Because of jealousy. Right? Many times, because of jealousy, you don't like somebody's success, whatever the case might be. And so, therefore, you backbite that person. You slander that person. You spread all kinds of falsehood and lies about that person. And you don't realize that what you are doing is something which is so horrible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it eating the flesh of your dead brother. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah takes your deeds, good deeds, and gives it to that person, the one who you were slandering, and that person's bad deeds come to you. Now, something which is so serious, whereas that jealousy, whatever you were feeling jealous about that person, was a small thing. It was nothing very big, right? And especially that person probably never did anything to you. That person didn't do you any harm. Yet you are causing character assassination. You are causing so much of harm to that person. How evil is that? Now this is what Shaitan does. So you might say, well, you know, I didn't kill anybody. Please don't. It's not a good idea to kill anybody at all. But let us also understand that it's not just a matter of I killed someone or didn't kill someone. We may be killing people in other ways. Character assassination, bad talking somebody is like equivalent to killing that person, or even worse than killing that person. Because if you are successful in this character assassination, then you are actually going to cause material damage to that person, which that person cannot possibly undo. One of the biggest problems with ghibah is that the other person has no defense, because the other person doesn't even know that you're doing this, right? Because you are this evil character who is decided to tell lies about somebody, and that other person is not even aware that this is happening. But their character is damaged, their reputation is damaged. Now how miserable is that? And that is why in Islam this is completely and totally prohibited and haram. And therefore, please let us remind ourselves to stay far away from this kind of thing. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from these beautiful stories of the Quran and to implement them in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn and to implement them in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise our children with these stories. And that's the wonderful way of raising a child, is to tell them these stories, and they are raised with the awareness of these beautiful stories and with the constant mention of them, so that they try to imbibe them and they try to inculcate the values in their lives. The purpose of the stories of the Quran is value education. It is to inculcate the values which Allah likes in a person's character. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.